It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 747. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeTechShow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on the left side of the website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow to get your free 15-day trial. You can also go directly to instanthousecall.com. This show is also brought to you by MagnusBox, your one-stop shop for secure, reliable online backups for Windows, Mac, and Linux. I have all my clients that require a great and secured backup that's HIPAA compliant. And right now, if you mention the Mike Tech Show, your platform fee will be half price for the first 3 months. So you save some money just by mentioning the Mike Tech Show. This is for partners only. You resell it. MagnusBox does not contact your clients. Your clients, there's no possible way for them to purchase this. They can only buy it through you. Now, if you are not a partner and you just want it for yourself, contact me. Email me, mike@mhsconsulting.net or miketechshow@gmail.com. Let me know and I'll set you up because I am a reseller. But check it out. Go to magnusbox.com. Try the demo. You will love it. Jam-packed show for tonight. I'm going to talk about the storm and the IT impact on me last week, especially since my son was on vacation. It's what led to no show Thursday night because I was just going nuts on Wednesday and Thursday. Also, going to catch up on emails, including follow-ups on the smart home. I have a YouTube video. We're going to talk about a Mac utility, secure erase SSD utility, and we're going to spend a couple minutes on HIPAA logs and compliance. So there's a question on that. So let's get started. First, one of my bigger clients, their basement got flooded. The sump pump could not handle the volume of water that was dropping. We, outside of Philadelphia in the suburbs, we were getting over 4 inches an hour. There are places that got over 10 inches of rain in a very short time. So you had lots of flooding, and a normal sump pump can't handle that. So what did get wet, and my client called me, he was panicked because his media room is in the basement. It's a beautiful room that I helped design years ago with incredible speakers and screen. There's a media server. There's just a lot of high-tech equipment. Thank God the equipment is all raised and either in cabinets or they're off the floor. It was like about an inch of water. The cables were, and not all the cables, just some of the cables got wet. So once everything was shut off, unplugged, dried, vacuumed up, he got an expert company in that was taking care of any of the furniture repair and the carpet, and they individually cleaned each cable and made sure all the cables were proper. At no damage for any of the electronics. There was one issue that I helped them through over the phone, and it was the receiver connected to the TV. He has a 65 inch on the wall. The cable was loose because he was getting video but not audio, and the HDMI cable was messed up. So once everything got tightened up and straightened up, he was good. But we had two hardware casualties, or well, I wouldn't say casualties, but problems. One system, when it came back up for my client, and this is a machine that is Windows 10 that controls via the serial port and via the network, it sends the files that need for the CNC files for the manufacturing of the equipment. And this is a critical machine. I had to first try to go to a restore point, and that was no joy. I didn't want to reinstall everything. My best choice was to go back to a previous version of Windows. Now, they were at 1909. I thought it was too long to go back to 1903, but it did. I was able to go back to 1903 and everything was fine. So then I figured, wow, when this shut off, it must have done ready to do an update. And when the update got applied, it caused problems where the system just kept rebooting. And doing an analysis, it did look like there was a driver issue. So one of the things that I have to do on an older system that is running Windows 10, you have to, if it's Windows 10 Pro, you have to go into the group policy and tell it not to download any drivers from Microsoft. So I made sure right after I fixed it, I paused updates and I made that fix in the group policy. And now they're running great. The other, I would say, casualty was a power supply in an older Optiplex unit. So I had to replace the power supply. We keep them in stock. So that was just two. I was running around so much. And if I wasn't on site, then I was in via instant house call, helping people out from the power outages and all just a mess of problems. But mostly in my area and the surrounding suburbs, it was all power for the storm. So interesting. I left Florida that Sunday before. Was it Sunday? Yes. It was a Sunday morning. And the storm didn't hit where we are on the west coast side of Florida. And I missed the storm, but then it got me in Pennsylvania. So missed me on Sunday, but came up the coast and hit me on Tuesday. Tony in the chat, what brand UPS do you use? I have a lot of APCs out there, but now I've been using CyberLink UPSs. The APCs are very common, but I'll tell you, those batteries don't last long. Once you're on battery for a bit, that's it. They take a hit and they don't come back, and the batteries all, you know, tend to fail more. So it depends if you are a server that needs a clean shutdown, then I get the big boy APC with the software, making sure that it'll shut down. If you're just a PC or just simple devices, then I use the CyberLink. So I took a break for a second. It is not CyberLink. It is CyberPower. They are the ones I've been using recently for systems that are not servers, because the free software that comes with the CyberPower is not as good as the control software for APC, where I have finer control. I like the PowerShoot software when I need that control. So That's the difference on the APC. If I got a bigger server or device that has to shut down cleanly, I like PowerShoot. And so I will use the APC. But for other just workstations that, you know, you might be there and you can just shut it down, or you can live with the software that comes with CyberPower, then that's fine. Let's get to a bunch of emails. And the first one I got a couple weeks ago, and this is from Clark, and it's security news from Sophos. And it's an ASUS router could be reflashed with malware patch now. And I love my ASUS routers, as you know. So the first link for tonight will be for the warning to patch your, make sure you patch your ASUS firmware. Make sure you get the latest, greatest. Take all the precautions when you're patching. I did mine. You want to stay in front of any kind of malware that can take over your router or your Wi-Fi devices. I want to thank Clark for sending me that link, and it will be the first link in the show notes. This email is from Frank, and it's about show 739, the battery management. Hello, Mike. In show 739, you were quoting Microsoft saying people should run their device on battery down to 20%, charge up full, and then unplug immediately again. Keeping the device plugged in with the battery at 100% does not overcharge the battery. If it did, the battery would be dead very, very fast. Remember, I was quoting Microsoft on that. However, lithium batteries don't particularly like being charged up to 100% either. It puts a lot of stress on the chemistry. So does deep discharging. It is best for the longevity of the battery to keep it between 30 and 40% and 80%. Now, if I line up 10 IT people and ask them this question, I will get 10 different answers. So this is Frank's opinion. Okay. Me, I like to run it. I do like to run them down. You sort of, when you get a new battery, you got to train it. And that's how I was brought up. So you're going to get a lot of takes on this. Frank, I appreciate everything you're saying here. He goes on ThinkPads, it is possible to define both the power and upper threshold for charging. That means if I plug in the device, it will only start charging if the battery is below a certain value, and it will only charge up to a certain value. I choose 40 and 85. Now, I like that you can control that. I have not looked into that. I have to look into that on some laptop batteries to have that kind of a fine control of when it's going to charge and when it's not. If I do need a full charge for a charge, then I can do a one-off top-off. This works on Windows and Linux. That way, my four-year-old ThinkPad is still running along happily with the original two batteries. I bought a Surface Go for travel, but I barely use it at home because as soon as I use it away from the cable, just for a few minutes, it will immediately charge up again once connected, stressing the battery. But I also don't want to do a full charge cycle because it wears down the battery and it feels just wrong to use battery power at home. After all, the battery is not replaceable. That's right. Surfaces have a retail mode in the BIOS, which limits charging to 50%. Because demo devices at stores run the whole time. But 50% is too low again for normal use. This is greetings from Germany, Frank. Frank, thank you so much for checking in and your email from Germany. This is from George. Thank you for continuing to put out great content. I'm really loving all that you're putting out on your new home in Uncle Marv land. I really like all the smart home content, and you do a great job explaining and showcasing what you're doing and your reasons for the products you've chosen. I wanted to send you some links to some other great podcasts and YouTube channels you might find helpful. First, there's a YouTube channel I just discovered that does a great job with explaining smart home technology, and he's a fellow Floridian. The channel is called The Hookup. The episode I've linked here is his 2020 home tour. He does a great job showcasing what he uses and goes further by rating each technology by how vital or trivial it is. I think you'll find that pretty interesting. Also, check out his comments on Sense 8, something you said you were interested in, and so was I, but now I'm not so sure. This is a link that I am absolutely going to have in the show notes. I viewed this video and learned a lot. You're going to get some ideas, which is what this is all about. What person A does for a smart home and for things doesn't match person B. It's what is important to you. What do you want to automate? An example. Do I want to automate my blinds and curtains remote control? No, that's of no interest to me. Although in this room, I might want to do that for the podcast. But anyway, there are things like that may not mean anything to you. A video doorbell may not mean anything to you. That weighs heavily for me and was like the first thing I did. So he continues, there's obviously a ton of content out there, and I'm sure you've already done your own homework, so I won't go into great detail on everything. I'll just list some resources you might find helpful. On the podcast side, HomeTech.fm, a show by two former custom installers that cover smart home news and trends. Home On. This show covers news also, but from a DIY perspective. On YouTube side, we have Lawrence Systems, great focus on SMB IT services with a lot of focus on Ubiquiti, PF Sense, Untangle, Crosstalk Solutions, another great SMB IT focused channel with lots of Ubiquiti and VoIP stuff. Hopefully you'll find some interesting info in some of these. Personally, I love hearing what others are listening to and watching, as there's so much great content to discover and learn from. Thanks for sharing your journey with us. It's much appreciated and highly anticipated each week. Regards, George. George, thank you. And I know I already replied. He sent this to me when I was in Florida, and I immediately listened to that first video on YouTube, and I learned a lot, and it gave me ideas on how I'm approaching some things. So I will put these links in the show notes. This is from Ken, and Ken has a really good question here. I have been a longtime listener of your show, and I've always enjoyed your show. I hope you and your family stay well during this pandemic. Thank you very much. Could you help me with an easy question? I need to wipe an Inland 250 gigabyte SSD card and return the defective card to a store this week. What free utility would you recommend? The two options that I came up with is this part, and that's from Crucial. He's got Easus. They're fine utilities. I have another one called Partit Magic for partition magic, and you can easily run this and do a secure erase. See, if you just want to dump the partition, you could use the partition manager right within Windows 10 and just plug in the drive. But if you're having trouble with the drive, I don't know if you're going to be able to see it to even do a secure erase before sending it back. So I'm not sure. But if you want to do a secure erase, I have partitmagic.com/secure-erase for the show notes and check that out. And I think that will meet your needs, because a race is different from a secure race. A secure race is going to write ones and zeros to every sector, so no one's going to be able to recover data from it, or at least it'll be extremely, extremely difficult. Next email. This is from Cormac. Hello, Mike, from sunny Ireland. This is great. Hearing from everybody all around the world. Hope all is going well with the move. Well, it's not a move, but it's a new setup. So I'm just trying to make sure, you know, A, I'm not moving. It's going to be, you know, a north-south. So and they call those people like me a snowbird. So we fly south for the winter and then come back up north when it gets too hot down south. And I'm not retiring. So that's two things: not moving, not retiring. But thank you. Customer came in with the return key not working on his MacBook. Rather than replacing his keyboard, we came across this handy tool that lets you change a key layout in a Mac. Not sure if you knew it. I did not. Very handy. Hope it helps with someone out there in our little world. Thanks. Cormac, thank you so, so much. And I will have this in the show notes. This is Caribiner Elements. And you can just download this utility to remap your Mac keyboard. That is awesome. You never know who might need a utility like that. This is from Terry in Arizona. I know you had issues with SIP ALG and VoIP, if I remember correctly. Yes, it wreaks havoc on your VoIP network and phone systems, and you need, if you can, to turn off that protocol. And it's routers. Some routers don't give you that option. At the school district where I work, we have given out laptops to teachers and staff to work from home. We started getting complaints about problems with Zoom meetings. At first, I thought it was the old beat-up laptops we gave to the staff. I would check out the laptops and had problems and found nothing wrong with them. He checked the laptops that had problems. Couldn't find anything wrong. After a while, my boss said the Wi-Fi would disconnect during a Zoom meeting. Then a teacher said the only time the Wi-Fi would drop was in Zoom meetings. I did some research, and there does seem to be a problem with SIP, ALG, and Zoom meetings. Have you heard of this Zoom problem with SIP, ALG? No, I have not. So here's what you want to do. Anybody that's having that problem, just to be safe, find out what their home router is. Then have them go into the router, or you log in to their system and then log into the router. And you want to find the settings to disable SIP ALG. And that will be an extremely big help. I'm not sure that's going to fix the Zoom problem, but I will say this. Wi-Fi over Zoom? No. Run a cable. Even if it's far away and it's only for the meetings and they got to run the cable on the ground, you want to be wired for a Zoom meeting over Wi-Fi. You're going to have all sorts of problems with Wi-Fi. There's so many things that can interfere. You want to be wired. So that's the first thing. Is there a way that the person with the laptop can get closer to the router to do their meetings? I did this for a couple people in my B&I chapter, and their Zoom performance got way better just by going wired versus Wi-Fi. But definitely, if SIP ALG is a problem, disable it in the router. And if you can't disable it in the router, then there's nothing you can do. We can get complicated where you can put another router in front of it that can do it. So I've done this with clients where I've replaced the ISP router with a router that I can disable that, because that helped them with their VoIP Now, right now here, I have the SIP ALG protocol floating around in my home office here in Pennsylvania. But, and I mentioned this, this was a topic when I, in Florida, Frontier Fios, their router, it came unchecked, that box. It was like, that was awesome. I was able to have that disabled. So by default, and that just helps me with my VoIP down in Florida. I didn't have to go get another router. Okay. The topic that's going to take us into the home stretch is from right now, IS. Mike, congratulations on the new house. Best of luck and years of enjoyment. Thank you very much. I have been listening for about 3 years and really enjoy the show. Keep up the good work. My Amazon purchases are split between yours and Marvin B's links. I appreciate that. And I know Marv thanks you. Question. As you know, logs must be kept for 6 years for HIPAA. That is correct. One, what logs are you keeping for your clients? Firewall, log on, log off, file access, printing. How are you keeping the logs? Are you using a service? I'm sure there are quite a few out there. Looking for recommendations, features, and price. Maybe you can ask the listeners what they are using. Yes, that is something I'm putting out there right now, and then I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. Maybe you can do a show on what to do for your HIPAA clients, what logs you're keeping, and what third-party services you're using. Make sure to get an affiliate code, etc., so you get rewarded for the services you're recommending. Now, on the logs, I keep the logs here, and that's one of the reasons, and I mentioned this for the sponsor, with Magnusbox being HIPAA compliant, I have directories on my, right now on my system for HIPAA clients that are backed up in the cloud. Now, I'm also offloading them on encrypted drives on my system. So I have an external drive. So I get the logs, I transfer them into my system. I then make sure they're backed up in the cloud in Magnusbox, and then they're also backed up and encrypted via Shadow Protect locally on a local hard drive that is connected to my main workstation. So that's how I save the logs and preserve the logs. What logs are we keeping? And I figured I had to find a link that allowed me to at least send you to how do you first start with staying HIPAA compliant with audit logs. And the link I have tonight is from totalhipaa.com. And I'm going to have this link in the show notes. And this is a good start. But I'll tell you the key to me for any person that, no, any doctor's office or attorney that is truly 100% behind being HIPAA compliant, because not everybody is, they have an untangle firewall. So that's first and foremost, because I can save all of the logs. I know if someone downloads something, I know if anything's coming in or out. That it is important to have intrusion detection, intrusion protection. I can save the logs and then again copy them to my system. So you need user logins. That's a little more difficult, and you need software to be able to control that. Changes made to databases. That's not as important to me, because a lot of the people don't have traditional databases locally on their system anymore. They're all cloud-based. So the addition of new users, absolutely, you got to document that. I completely document that. Files accessed by users, only the files. Now, I'm going to get challenged on this, I'm sure. Only the files that are related to the HIPAA compliance do you need that kind of access control and reporting. Operating system logs, that's easy. You have your event viewers you can dump off, and you have your security and audit logs you can dump off. Firewall logs, They're the logs right off the Untangle. I like Untangle because that's the one I'm using. That's the one I'm used to. I am a partner for Untangle, so I get a good price, and that's what I resell, and I like using it. And remember, I've talked about Untangle for years. I've been playing with that for a long time, and you can too, because it's a free distribution that you can download and get an old system and start playing with it. And here's another one, and it's anti-malware logs. This is a little tougher if you're just using certain software that is only local to the system. You got to be able to turn on keeping the logs, and sometimes they overwrite themselves and you got to look in the advanced settings. So it depends on what anti-malware you're using is going to be how you're going to get the logs. I have a routine that I'm using for systems for the anti-malware that I'm using on those computers, and I'm grabbing the logs and I'm saving them. You could do a lot more and you could do a lot more detail, but right now that's a great way to get started. But the big thing is the client's got to agree to pay you for your time in compiling all this and doing all this, because this is not free. This is a lot of work, and you have to show them the different articles. And that's what this is going to be nice right here, this little link that I'm sending you, because they quote, I believe in this, the actual HIPAA rules where you can bring them up for the governance for HIPAA compliance, that you can show your client to say, you want to be 100% HIPAA compliant? You have to do this. It's going to take me X amount of hours to keep maintaining it. So that's the big thing. Getting your client to buy into that is way more difficult than actually doing the work. That's what I found. But it is a lot of work, but you can bill for it. Hope that helps. So yes, Michael, there is, I'm talking to myself. If I take all my HIPAA clients up here that I say have HIPAA compliance, which ones really do that? Yes, it is a subset. It is not 100%. Because when they're presented with how many hours this is going to take, I'll take my chances. I'm like, okay, your call. I can warn them. I can do everything I can. And that's as far as you can go. All right. I hope that helps. And IS, thanks for the question. That is it. If you, as IS mentioned, if you purchase anything from Amazon, please use the link that Carrie Holzman and I share. The link is in every Tech Vets show notes, every Mike Tech Show show notes to support the show. Go click on that link first, then add the items to your cart. When you check out, when they ship and you pay for it, 2 months later, we get a small commission, but it adds up. And we thank everybody from the bottom of our hearts for continuing to use that link. It's very important to us. Thank you. Remember Instant House Call. Check them out. Go to instanthousecall.com. Use the promo code Mike Tech Show. Download the trial. Play with it. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. The sub accounts are great. Magnus Box. Go to magnusbox.com. Tell them you heard it here on the Mike Tech Show. Get your demo. Start playing with it. And then sign up and start using it. Again, you're going to love it. Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. Great program for copying all your settings from one system to another. Those hard to manage settings, all those browser bookmarks and add-ins and settings, you can back up and transfer so much using Fabs. Check them out. Again, another utility we can't live without. That is it for tonight's show. Next week's show will be hopefully live from Florida. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.